Welcome back. 55 Feedback, just after the 10 o'clock hour with Tom King. I'm Pat Snyder. Dan Mielke is in the studio with us, answering questions as well, a congressional candidate to run again against Dave Obey in the 2010 election cycle that'll be coming up. Let's get to a busy phones. More reactions from the Tea Party. Jenny, thanks for holding so long.
That's okay. Nice to have you back, Pat.
Well, thank you, Jenny.
Hello.
You're welcome. This is my problem.
Okay.
I'm really getting tired of hearing Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, right-winger, left-winger. What everybody's forgetting is that we're all Americans, and we have to band together for the good of this country and for the good of our Constitution, and not destroy it.
Right, but how can we get our message out without disagreeing with people and being called haters?
That, I wish I had an answer for that. I have a friend that I just got back with after 30 years, and she is a liberal.
Okay.
And we've been talking politics, and I listen to her side, but she's also listened to mine, and she's even said that the conservatives have good points. And I've told her there are good points that the liberals bring.
Mm-hmm.
Now how do we get them together?
I think we need to unite the American people and have the two sides being the American people and our elected leaders. And that's where the split should be. It's not the Democrats that vote. It's the Democrats in office. It's not the Republicans that vote. It's the Republicans in office. And we just got done talking about Bush and about McCain and some of the problems they had.
Well, her solution was to get a giant fire hose and stick it in the White House and blow everybody out of there.
Okay. All right. Kind of like an enema.
I thought they were already all wet.
Not, but we need to do something. But we need to remind these people that just because we have different sides and different points of views does not mean we cannot agree to disagree, and maybe some of our views together can work for our country.
The reason our country is in the problem it's in today is because the government has allowed themselves, has worked to such a point that they've pitted us against each other. And until we unite and fight as one cause against the injustices that are happening in Washington, we will continually be in this supposed team spirit, Republican-Democrat philosophy. We need to get back. Now, the ideals of a republic, that's what I stand for. I'm a Republican that believes that we are a republic where we have the majority, the minority is protected from the majority through a constitution. And that's the philosophy I hold to. I don't hold to the team spirit idea that if the Republicans are wrong, I'm going to be wrong anyway. And I think that's what we need to do as Americans. We need to start standing up and voting on the issues and voting on the candidates, not voting on the party line.
That's it. I agree with you 100%. And if you can spread that message, I will spread that message. I know Pat will. I'm kind of iffy on Tom, but I mean, I'm sorry, but I speak what I feel and what I think. And so I will do my share so you guys keep trying to pass your message on. And I appreciate it.
All right,
like
Jenny.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye. 845-2155. And you're right, Dan. You know where it starts? It starts with the folks that just stepped forward and ran for school board, for city council, for the county supervisors, and not only legislature. We think Washington only, but we have to get the motivation of the non-agenda-driven people. I remember once in Iowa, one of the guys ran for school board because he wanted to get his wife a teaching job. Yeah. That was the reason he was running. And see, with our not really caring about the system too much, we let that occur.
Exactly. And that's the danger that we have in this nation. We've lost touch with the fact as a unified body fighting for a unified cause, and that's for the freedom that this country has given us. We need to get back to that.
Yep, I agree. Let's see here. Go to Doug. Oh, I met a guy last night born in Olwine, Iowa. I couldn't believe it. What a small world. Doug, how are you?
Good, good. How are you guys?
All right.
Great.
Well, it was a great event yesterday, and got to say, it looked like everybody was living like they mean it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for keep bringing it. You know what? Thank goodness the state has you, Doug, because you're the only one I hear in using the new tourism motto.
Was there anybody there doing handstands?
I still want to have that motto changed from live like you mean it to vote like you mean it.
Yes,
but in any case, I want to commend Mrs. Tyberg for a very powerful message in that being from the Ukraine, she's lived it and exactly what's been going on here in the country, the direction we're heading. And she, having lived firsthand, was warning us, don't do it. At the same time, kind of want to mention the apparent double standard and the fact that the media can just, you know, throw it out there as news and then not mention anything about the fact that it just came out in the last day or so that the president made like $2.5 million this last year. And I thought there was kind of a cap on the president's salary at $500,000. Or is it just a situation where it's not how much you make, but how you make it and who you get it from?
Let's see, Doug. Let's get to the Obama spokesman. Tom?
No, the salary they're talking about is what he made last year, and I think most of the salary was from the sale of the two books.
Now, okay.
I thought it went down because the books were the year before.
Hillary did exactly the same thing before she became a senator. She received $8 million from a publisher 2 weeks before she became senator. They had to do it that way for legal purposes because she couldn't accept that after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it all seems to be about not how much you make, but it's who you get it from and, you know, how. Now, also, I'd like to bring up that, the pork spending. Mr. Obie rides into town on the white horse and throws the tax dollars around for this and that, but no one seems to question sanity, perhaps, of some of what's happening. For instance, I believe it was in the news that they're going to buy some sections of land, neighborhoods, what have you, over by NTC to put in more parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could be wrong, but I don't think parking lots pay taxes. I think it's the property owners that own those homes and such. So we're going to buy up homes, do a little bit of stimulus job to pave this place, and unless there's meters on it to pay for it, then there's a little maintenance over time. But essentially, and it's not just NTC, UWMC is doing the same thing by the park downtown. Thomas Street's being talked about being widened and so on. So they're buying up tax-based homes, tearing them down, and putting in something that's paved, and I don't understand how that's helpful.
One of the things that's really frustrating to me is the fact that the state and the federal government don't work together. A prime example of what you're talking about is the Murphy Oil situation. There was a company that was going to increase 350 jobs, an $8 billion expansion, until Mr. Doyle decided to add an additional $2 million to their tax burden, shut the project down. And they said, well, we need the revenue, and that's just the way it's going to be.
Right,
at the same time, Dave Obie comes in and gives $5 million to restore three antique lighthouses in the same area.
Yeah.
So think about how those people think. You just turned down 350 jobs, and you used a stimulus package to restore three lighthouses?
Right.
Why didn't you give $2 million of that back to Murphy, and you'd have created 350 jobs? It would have been the best.
Yep.
Buck spent
in those three, and the jobs at Murphy Oil would have been full-time, ongoing jobs. Once you've restored something like a lighthouse, the job's done, except for a little maintenance. And this is going to be true of putting up windmills and, you know, the same thing. Once those things are up and running, aside from maintenance, they're not ongoing from generation to generation jobs. For instance, the way the GM plants have been.
I checked with the gentleman wanted to get a bid on that job, so I did some checking. There's nothing wrong with the structure of those lighthouses. It's all cosmetic and superficial on the outside. You tell me how you can spend $5 million on three lighthouses for just tuck pointing and a few lawn maintenances.
So
something's wrong.
$200,000 maybe going to the restoration and the rest going to other people.
Well, they said we probably won't bid this out for 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Well, unfortunately, I think the only thing getting stimulated for the most part through all of this is Chris Matthews' leg.
Yeah.
Nice
job, Doug.
Is that an earthquake?
Oh, Lord. Let's get another call here before we take a break. Mary.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Good. How's everybody there?
Oh, we're just chipper.
That's good. Dan, I still have my sign. I'm just waiting to put it out again.
Put her back out. You know, I haven't stopped running. He said I'm running again. I'm still running. We never stopped the campaign.
Just as long as you're running in the right direction.
You bet.
Okay. About the Tea Party, I don't know. I find it a little bit of a, I don't know if I'd call it an insult, but an unbelievable wow, how can they talk about where is the money coming from? I mean, I get a real kick out of that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I was asked that from reporters left and right. Who's funding
sure it
this?
Wasn't George Soros or the stimulus package.
Hey, Meg Ellison did all of this yesterday. She put the money down to rent the square for the permit. She did it all. This was her.
Well,
nobody.
You got to remember, you know, they didn't like that big screen.
Oh, that was Americans for Prosperity. Yeah, for Prosperity did that, but they also have 20% of their base is Democrats, Libertarians, and Republicans. So they have a little mixture of everything.
Well,
but you know what? You got to have an organization as a foundation. I mean, I'm sure if we, as Vicki McKenna said, if we showed up with a dozen pink shirts and protested the war, we would have had media all over the nation there.
Holy moly,
what's happening here?
Well, we should have said it's government funded. Don't you see the police officers and the lawn that's on the Capitol and the sidewalk? Part of it was paid for by your tax dollars. Thank you.
One of the things I would like for someone to do is to contact the police and set the record straight on how disorderly it was.
What?
Well, you know, people are saying it was disorderly. I would like...
I didn't hear that.
Someone reported they raised hell down there.
Oh, raised hell. I got you. All right.
I would like for somebody to correct that statement.
Well, you know, it's kind of...
correct the paper.
It's kind of interesting. When it talks about us, it's called Raising Hell is Considered Bad, and yet Dave Obey's book that he put the title on is Raising Hell for Justice. So somehow Raising Hell, when it's Dave Obey, that's okay.
Yeah, and another thing is this Homeland Security and the military and how that just boils me. I mean, I think Obama's just buttering up to the military because he's afraid that they might turn against him. He's got to get his own little group of people in the streets to counteract the military whatever. I don't know what his thinking is.
The commander of the American Legion came out and condemned what Obama administration said about the veterans coming home.
When they target our veterans, that's
I just can't believe
they drew the line there.
Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of people that are not happy about Mr. Obama, and I think that they better think about.
Right. All right. Thanks.
Of course, Khrushchev didn't like our veterans either.
We have to take another break here. We'll come back with. We'll come back with more feedback in a moment. Back at 55 Feedback, reaction to Tax Day, our theme for today. Open lines will be tomorrow on our Friday.
Just for what it's worth, the headline in the Daily Herald about raising hell was in quotation marks describing the comments of the one speaker. It wasn't talking about the unruliness of the crowd. It was describing the comments of that David King, that Milwaukee minister,
sure,
who said, "I came today to raise hell."
That's all in the headline? They have that underneath so you know what it is?
No, the headline is Madison demonstrators raise hell, and the words raise hell are in quotation marks.
But, Tom, you know as well as I do that people read those things, and it's how it implies.
Right. I mean, if it'd be something that you would hate, you'd be bringing up the whole thing, too. Like, liberal mind sane, something like that.
Mm.
Let's go back to Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Hi. I was watching some of these Tea Party things yesterday, and although I'm all for you for what you stand for and all that, I'm thinking that, first of all, I want to say I can't believe people are so naive after all these years to believe that the news media was going to give them a fair shake. I mean, what did you expect?
Yeah, that's a good point, Jeff.
What did you expect? They have been, they're not neutral in this, folks. Sorry, I hate to be the one to break this to you. They haven't been neutral since Vietnam. They haven't been neutral, and they're not neutral in this. The other thing I want to ask is, I saw the grandmothers and the moms and the dads and the hardworking Americans out there and all of that stuff, and I'm just wondering, are you guys ready for when Acorn decides to hold a counter-protest? These people have been protesting for years and years, and they know how it's done. Are you ready for the chance of racist, and maybe being pelted with eggs, and the news media, maybe some people in there trying to instigate a confrontation, a physical confrontation, and the news media breathlessly going on and say, the Tea Party has turned violent yesterday. Matt, you know, several Tea Party, the organizers have said this is mainstream Americans and working moms and dads, but it has turned violent.
Well,
you know, and that's
they made
be
a
the
mistake,
headline.
Jeff. They made a mistake. They should have been there yesterday because everyone saw how it was done right.
Yeah.
And if they suddenly bring in their instigators, then they're going to see why it turned
you
violent.
You know how the news media is going to slant.
Oh, I know.
The headline isn't going to be it. Forget about what tax parties are all about. The headline is going to be Tea Parties Turn Violent. And, you know, and that's, these guys are good at this.
You know, though.
The left in this country, I believe right now, has the momentum. They have been working on this for the last, pounding away at this for the last 40 years. I think they've tipped the balance finally, and I think they've got the momentum. I think they've got the ball, and they are running with it. And I don't know.
I'm on the phone probably 5-6 hours a day talking to constituents, and I will say this, and I'm saying it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That if the people don't have a place to voice their opposition, it will get violent.
But I mean,
people are frustrated.
What about the moms and dads with their little kids?
Moms and dads are frustrated.
They've got a guy standing 5 feet away saying, racist, you know, or maybe mother effing racist,
yeah.
Mother effing racist.
I
and you got your little girl crying. Are they going to be able to take that?
I wouldn't be surprised if one of the little kids kick him in the shin and the mother decks him. It's getting to the point where people are so exasperated and frustrated with their hands being tied.
And how the news media is going to play that.
You bet.
You had a speaker at the Madison rally saying that Governor Doyle was in his office smoking crack. You had a sign at the rally claiming that Obama is the Antichrist. So don't tell me how mellow these rallies
were.
Well,
and I'm, you know, and that's the other thing. Eventually, they're going to these things. You, if you get FaceTime on TV, you're going to get the kooks coming out too. I mean, you got to be ready for that too.
Well,
you're going to get the white supremacy.
You have that on both sides.
We saw the Bush sign saying the same thing, Tom, and so you know the anti-Obama and calling him the Antichrist. But he also said, Tom, since you weren't there, he also said the governor must be up there smoking crack because of the things he's doing.
I would hope he was being facetious and just trying to make a point with a joke. He wasn't seriously thinking that the government of in Madison is on
right.
drugs.
If you were there, you'd understand that he was.
But you can have these back and forth. It's like the comedian saying that the congressman in Illinois should be dragged out and have his family burned to death in the street or stoned to death.
Right.
I mean, that is almost like, you know...
Like giving him his own reality
show.
Well,
it's like red herrings, these kook statements that are out there.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is the news media is so slanted. They're so far to the left that they make Fox News look like they're right wing.
They need to just do their job, and that doesn't take any sides, but report
yeah, but you know
it right
not,
down the middle.
So you're not saying Fox News isn't part of the media?
I'm
Fox
saying
News
Fox
isn't
News
mainstream tried, media?
They think, they, and they try to be fair and balanced, but the other media is so far to the left that it makes Fox News look like they're right wing.
Yeah.
I don't think they really are, because in some ways I think Fox News is somewhat of a joke. It's like they have these talking heads on there spewing talking points for 1 minute, and then they're on to Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
It's
right.
Like, what the heck?
Yeah. Okay, I got to go here, Jeff. I got to get another call in before our news break. Mary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, Mary.
Well, I was there last night, and I was totally amazed with, well, even some of the things that I learned.
Okay.
Because, I'm from Illinois. I was born and raised there.
Okay.
And I never learned the fact that a Wisconsin legislator went to Washington, D.C. and proposed the federal income tax.
In 1913.
Yep.
Yeah, and that really surprised me.
Isn't that?
But,
I didn't know until that.
But
you don't see that in a tourism bureau, you know, a brochure, do you? Come to the state that started the income tax.
You never do, and it's kind of frustrating. But I do know that I got there late, and I was informed later after I left that there were petitions to be signed, which I wasn't aware of.
You mean like a scroll, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Meg will let me know where that is, and we'll figure out people can sign it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if there was a way to still sign it.
I'm sure there isn't.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there is. And Meg's right here in town. If you go to cnetrun.com, you'll get a website, and she might be updating some of the things on it.
What was that?
Cnetrun, S-E-E-N-E-T-R-U-N.
R-U-N.
Cnetrun, yep. .com. All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary, for coming out yesterday, too, and just being there to voice your opinion as well as listen to folks' opinions, too. So, all right, let's get a news break in, and we'll come back with our final 25 minutes of 55 feedback after this break. Welcome back to 55 Feedback. Our final minutes here. Dan Mielke in with us, a congressional candidate to challenge Dave Obey in 2010. We're talking about the rallies around the state, around the country, and right here in Wausau as well, the folks that made. Let's get Lance in here. He's been holding a while. Lance, thanks.
Hey, I went to the thing last night. It was a good show. I've seen everybody there. My question is for Tom. Basically, I just wanted to know, maybe he's already said, when he reads that Homeland Security report, what does he think about it, and what is his opinion on it?
He's right now evidently it didn't get to the media sources he usually reads, but it states that Homeland Security considers the returning veterans as, go ahead and fill in the blank.
Well, I read the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
I read it. I just want to know what a liberal's opinion.
Well, and that they were considered possibly radical is what the Homeland Security says. They'd be radical.
Potential national threats.
National threats. Tom, does that throw any alarm bells up?
You don't label groups of people with a situation like that. If you have a credible source that suggests an individual or a group of individuals poses some sort of threat, that's different than labeling a group of people, regardless of who they are, as a potential threat.
So what do you think, though? You don't like it?
Wrong.
Well, then why isn't Barack Obama stepping in and say, well, they were out of line?
Well, he should be.
Mm. That's scary. That report is really scary. Isn't that something you see in Germany in the 1940s? That to me, really makes me weary of what this government is
doing. Well, but just remember, I mean, there are a lot of angry people out there, and regardless of how well-behaved these rallies were yesterday, there are the fringe elements who are out there that still have the potential to pull a Timothy McVeigh somewhere down the line.
Okay, so if I read that report, then I may as well be a right-wing extremist.
Oh, we all
and
were.
They're going to come at me? Am I going to be isolated? Are they going to...
Have you threatened violence? Are you advocating the overthrow of the country?
I didn't see anywhere in that report where it said for certain people threatening violence.
Yeah, I mean, these are returning vets.
It's a general right-wing people.
Right.
It's so vague. It looked like it was a total political...
They're trying to plant the seed a little bit of somehow making the people that read it thinking, oh, these extremists of the Tea Party are right-wing extremists. They're the violent ones we got to watch out for. Meanwhile, the professional terrorists, Eggcorn, are out fixing elections.
Professional terrorists?
Yeah, and protesters.
Or could it possibly be that our government has gone so far outside the realms of the Constitution that there is a legitimate fear that the American people might revolt and take back our nation? Could that possibly be what it is, and that they're actually not afraid of us as terrorists, mm-hmm. but they're labeling us as terrorists because we're thinking about possibly upholding our own government's rights and freedoms? Could that possibly be it? And if that's the case, well, then maybe they are justifiably doing that, and they better add moms with children. They better add dads. They better add businessmen. They better add anyone that pays taxes because they're getting fed up.
Let's just throw another question here, Lance, at Tom. What would you feel more comfortable at, one of the rallies that we had last night? Of course, you didn't attend. Or would you want to be at an Eggcorn rally? What would you feel more secure?
Since I've never been at either one,
You'd feel secure at an Acorn rally.
Is there a lot of violence at Acorn rallies?
I think a lot more than.
Are they out to create violence? Are they out to
agitate and disrupt?
But that's what protest is. I mean, you can have nonviolent protest that agitates. I mean, the civil rights movement They achieved their aims by doing that.
So you'd feel comfortable at Acorn. Okay.
That report was basically saying that the government is afraid. To me. And then that's what makes me afraid. How far will they go?
They will go as far as they need to go to get their agenda taken care of.
It's just like anything that if it's wounded and backed into a corner, look out.
My question is not how far will government go, but how far will the American people go to uphold the freedoms that we once had? How far will we go to vote out people that are like that? Yeah. How far will we go to stand for what we believe in? And that's where it's more important.
Remember, we have an injustice on the First Amendment. Feingold McCain took that out right away from us. Well, the president raised $700 million that we still don't know where it all came from.
Are you going to include the comments of the head of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, who said that the report should have been worded differently, but it made no blanket accusations that every soldier was capable of being a traitor, and these disputed claims that Homeland Security analysts were describing veterans as terror threats? So, I mean, this is not... Could it have been worded? Was it written by a bureaucrat, and could it have been worded better? Probably.
Darn it. It just one administration, too. You know, if it would have been the last administration, Tom would have a different story there. So, all right, Lance, I got to get some other calls going in there. At least he responded, the American Legion, and the president hasn't said a word. Sandy, good morning.
Good morning. The first thing I want to say to Tom is, where was your outrage when Obi accused one of his constituents of smoking marijuana? Because they dared question him.
They're smoking something that ain't legal.
Yeah, and it was his own liberal party.
Hey, I've said many times that Dave Obie is a crotchety old guy who loses his temper too quickly with people.
I mean, we're talking someone who said he might be smoking crack. This guy accused them of smoking something.
They're running out of people to kill.
Yeah. I have to say, I was at the rally yesterday, and I've been to a lot of different rallies in the last, well, since back during the Clinton times. And I have to say, this is the first time I have seen that quantity of men, younger men, and fathers at a rally.
You know what's exciting?
And men are finally stepping forward instead of leaving it to the women. Okay, you can take your day off of work. All over the country, these men left their jobs, took their babies and their children and went.
What's exciting is when we had the amnesty bill up and we had the rallies in Washington and we had the rally in Wausau and we won that battle, we didn't even have a tenth of what we have today.
Yeah, that's a good
point,
so
when you think about that, the people that are coming out now, and this is just the beginning of the uproar and the outrage of what's going on, think where we can go if we can motivate these elected officials to actually listen to the people.
And another thing I want to say is Acorn is government funded, so everyone should ask every time they go out where they're getting their money.
You bet.
It's our tax dollar.
Yeah, that's right.
We have every right to question them every single time they make a move when they're doing it on my money.
All right. Billions of your money.
You bet, Sandy. Hey, thanks. I got to get a break. A couple more calls coming up here. Good point. You know, I guess the newspapers don't ask those protesters where they were funded and who put it on. But again, I'm sure it just slips everyone's mind.
Not ours.
Feedback. It's 10:48. Let's get a couple more calls in here. Joe, good morning.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I met the great pontificator last night, and my life has changed forever.
All right.
My life is complete now.
Don't encourage him.
Tom, look at Tom. Don't encourage him, Tom. What? Bob doesn't have a right as free speech?
Well, Bob was right, though. He did when he spoke. He says, can we afford to tighten our belts anymore? And it looked to me like Bob was on his last knot.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you saw the visual, you know what I'm talking about. There was four things that were missing last night. Governor Doyle, Representative Obie, Tom King, and a dunk tank. And it would have been a perfect evening. We would have raised so much money, I'll tell you. But it was great. Hats off to Meg Ellison, the young lady that put this together. That was just an incredible deal all the way around. If you weren't there, you should have been.
Did you say dunk tank or drunk tank?
He said dunk tank.
Oh, okay.
We don't care how sober they are when they go in. As long as when they come out, we know they'll be wet.
Joe, would I have heard anything different last night if I would have been there than I hear every day on this show? Would I have learned anything new that I hear from our callers and most of our guests on this show?
You probably wouldn't have heard anything, but I'll tell you, to see the thousands of people that were there was impressive. When I got there, some of my friends, there's only a couple of hundred. In fact, my friends got their picture on the front page of the Wausau Daily Herald. They were holding the sign that says if 10% is enough for God, it is enough for the IRS.
Yes.
And there are friends of mine from Antigo. In fact, my sign made it in the left-hand corner. I was almost in the shock.
Oh, I see it. Ron Paul is right.
There you go. That was me. See me? I'm waving to Tom King.
Yep.
But I mean, right. Ron Paul, you guys talk about we just don't have anybody qualified to run. Ron Paul was certainly qualified to run, but he does not play this game with the CFR. The CFR, Council on Foreign Relations, handpicks both the Democratic and Republican person.
What about Rick Perry, governor of Texas? Is he setting himself up as a potential presidential candidate down the road?
I have no idea. I have no idea. History on the gentleman. I don't know who he is, what he is. So, but I will study the issue. Mr. Mielke, excellent speech last night.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. It was very moving, uplifting. All the friends of mine that were there, they said, this Mielke guy is pretty strong. There is one criticism I do have for you, though. You need to take a look at something. On your brochure, it says, the first page says, fair tax now. Fair tax sounds great on the surface, but I did a little research because I'm kind of a guy that digs for the fine print, and I found it. I believe I found it. Bill H.R. 25 does not guarantee that the IRS is going to go away. It does not repeal the 16th Amendment.
I think we had the guy from the fair tax on who says that the fair tax, the bill, would not take effect until, what was it, 12 months after the 16th Amendment was repealed?
Yeah, there's... Keep in mind, any bill is only as good as the people that put it through. We need to make sure that those things are done. It's a starting point, and we need to make sure it works. And you're right. We need to make sure that IRS is gone.
Well, right, but the 23% is not a locked-in figure either. That can be changed any time. Also, you pay taxes from life till death. And also, it's going to be a tax on, I believe, gasoline and diesel, which is going to inflate the price of every product you currently buy, probably by double.
Right. I'm open for suggestions. It's just the best at the time.
I'm going to get another one. Joe, good point. And at least if we'd be debating it, we'd be debating it. It would be on the table. Right now, it's not even considered by anybody. Well, here's the lady that put the whole thing together, Meg Ellefson. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, guys. Hi, Dan. Say, I didn't catch the whole program, but I've heard a few callers call in, and I wanted to first of all thank everyone for coming out last night. I'm so grateful.
Could you believe the crowd that got there? I mean, I thought a few hundred, you know, we'd be able to be good, but what, nearly 2,000?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. I mean, not in the paper or on the news, but that's, I think, a more accurate.
Well, you just got to double whatever a paper says of a conservative rally. So.
Well, when Meg first started, she said, well, I signed up, and I said there'd be about 100 there, and I think there was 100 there and a few more.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to make sure that people know that this isn't the end, and I'm, you know, that Tea Party was just the beginning. And
We had a question about the scroll.
Yes, and I did hear about that, and I wanted to address that too, and just also point out that this is, we had maybe 2,000 people at that rally yesterday, and that was because of one regular mom just advertising it and talking to people in 2 weeks' time, and I want to remind people that anyone, any regular guy or gal can go out and organize a group of people and do the same thing. And just think if we all got 2,000 people together, just think of the number we'd have.
One patriotic, impassioned, regular mom.
Yep, that's it. And, you know, one thing my husband commented on, he said, you know, I was really surprised that I expected to see more people with business clothes on. And he said that by far there were more flannel shirts there than business shirts. And, I mean, that says a lot, that there were a lot of regular folks out there last night, probably more than, you know, we're given credit for.
But a lot of small business owners, too, Meg, because I asked the folks how many were small business owners. There's a whole bunch of hands that went up.
Oh, absolutely. And, I'm so excited that this is just a movement that's starting, and we're going to continue forward. I want to make sure that people know we have a new website that
I'm
going to be working on. It's wasateaparty.com. And you can go out to that site. I've put a little thank you out there for now, but there will be updates very shortly, so hang tight. And as far as the grievance scroll, I probably will talk to you about this off-air, Pat, but we'll come up with an idea about how people can still sign that before we get it to our lawmakers in Washington.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they could email it to you and you could put an email signature on there?
Well, you know, maybe we'd, there's perhaps an opportunity to make it available still so that people can actually sign the paper.
Like a John Hancock and stuff. That's...
Right. Well, and what I'll do is I'll post information on the website and then ask Pat also to... you know, talk about it on air so that people know where they can go to sign the grievance scroll. We'll have to try to come up with a place. I don't know if I can get another permit to have the grievance scroll.
No, yeah, I understand. I understand.
But thanks again, Pat. I want to tell you, too, thanks so much for all your help and your super emceeing last night. It was a great time, and the added speakers just made it an even better rally. So thanks again.
You bet. All right, Meg. Great job, and we'll definitely be in touch.
All right, take care.
Thanks.
God bless.
All right, let's see here. Well, we're almost out of time. Any final thoughts?
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited about the way that the people are coming out, and I think if we can keep this motivation going, we can bring back the freedoms that we had. I think, you know, we talk about the tax a lot. We don't like tax, but there were a lot of people there that didn't pay any tax, and they're still there because they're upset with the fact that we're not only being taxed to death, we're having our freedoms taken away. We're having our rights taken away. And we're being pushed and corralled and handled like cattle rather than like free Americans. And I think that's the important thing. It's not the money. It's the future. It's our grandchildren. It's our great-grandchildren. It's what are we leaving for them? Are we leaving them a legacy or a debt? And we're leaving them a debt right now, and we need to change that. And it's going to be a lot of work. And I think it takes time. It takes the American people to stand up, to get outraged, to get red in the face, to get angry enough to do something about it. And that's when we're going to make changes. Yeah.
That little 12-year-old down in Madison that came up with the sign from Delavan, she said, don't tax. She said, no, don't. Well, how did it go exactly? The taxes, I haven't even started earning money yet. Don't tax the money I haven't even earned yet.
Yeah, something like that.
And it is very tax happy, so... All right, well, that will take care of today. Tomorrow we'll get back, open lines. Everyone can call in, and the callers will drive the talk. Maybe now that they saw how quickly it is to get a protest together, maybe, Tom, you can get a little group that is fond of you, and they can get in, don't pick on Tom, and march in front of the place here and pick at me for picking on you all the time.
No, we don't need that.
Why? Well, it'd be good.
You wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
If anybody needs to get a hold of me, too, they can go online to www.danielmilkey.com. You get my phone number, give me a call. If you have ideas or suggestions or you just want to vent, I'm there. Give me a call. There's one difference between me and Dave Obie is I'm usually in the crowds talking to the people where he's usually ducking out the back door.
All right. And again, just to get your signs together, quit picking on Tom and come.
Just cut it out.